Good morning, everyone. This morning we are in Isaiah chapter 34. And throughout the book of Isaiah, we have been in the already and the not yet. Yahweh has been speaking to Isaiah, telling him what to say about the fact that there's pending judgment on the neighboring nations, on Israel, and even on Judah, although they're going to be spared the immediate attack from Sennacherib, which we're going to read about in chapter 36 of this book. We're about to change gears in Isaiah in another chapter, in chapter 36. So 34 and 35 are going to kind of end this scene of judgment against the nations. And the already and not yet part is, it appears Isaiah is letting them know about the upcoming judgment of both Assyria and then of Babylon. But then he's talking about future restoration and even a future judgment before the final like reign where Israel gets their land back. Now, they never officially got that all back, even now in 1947. So that's where we become messianic or prophetic, or Isaiah is in illustrating to us that although there's a near fulfillment of some of this, there's a far fulfillment we're still waiting on when King Jesus returns and then restores the land to Israel. But, you know, the way I understand it is that Israel is not going to be apart from Jesus in that day, meaning the new Israel is going to be the church and the Jews who embrace the one who's worthy of our worship, and that is Jesus. And right now, the Jews who have remained Jewish and who haven't come to Christ have rejected him. That's one of the reasons that they're under judgment. But in the end, and even during the tribulation, people will be coming to faith in Jesus. And then when he comes back to rule and reign for his millennium, everyone, from the least of them to the greatest, they will all know the Lord, for he will be with them, as we read in, you know, Jeremiah 31, when we get the fullness of the new covenant at the time of his return. So this chapter is really the last in this section regarding the wrath against the nations and trying to, you know, get people to heed and to listen. And listen to how it begins here. Draw near, O nations, to hear, and pay attention, O peoples. Let the earth hear as well as its fullness, the world and all that springs from it. Now that's a word, actually. You know, just verse 1 there is a word. Hear, O nations, pay attention, O peoples. Let the earth hear as well as its fullness. You know, ultimately that's what God wants, is God wants us to draw near to hear. And I thank you that, you know, and I think God is pleased that you're listening, that you're reading. That's a measure of you drawing near. You know, I had a really good talk with some men a few days ago, and I thought they were respectful, and, you know, I thought I was respectful too, although passionate respectful. And I was just talking to these men and saying, hey, you know what? We're all going to die. Time, you know, that time is coming, and are we found in him? You know, do we believe in him, or do we just say we believe in him? And sometimes, you know what, we need a warning, we need an encouragement, we need a little fire lit underneath us in order to make a change. And here is what Isaiah is saying: draw near, hear, pay attention. Because one day God is going to come to judge, and what you're going to want is when he comes, you're going to want to be found in Jesus. You're going to want to be a believer in Jesus and have your life reflect that it wasn't just words, but that you really believed. And then you're going to be spared all this challenge that we hear about right now. So in verse 2, it says, for the indignation of Yahweh is against all the nations, against all the people who have not embraced him. And today that would be all who have not braced his son, and they're going to come under wrath. And his wrath against all their hosts. He has devoted them to destruction. He has given them over to slaughter. So their slain will be cast out, and their corpses will give off their stench. Now, the already and not yet of this is the, again, Assyrian and Babylonian empires coming in and dishing out judgment on the nations and even on Israel in, you know, the 700 to 500 BC time frame. But this is also going to be true of Daniel's 70th week. I For some of you, that's maybe a not sure what that is, but Daniel prophesied about 69 weeks for the Jewish people, and that there's going to be one more week, the 70th week. Well, that 70th week is 7 years. That's the 7 year tribulation. And that's going to be an awful time on the earth for anyone who hasn't embraced Jesus. I believe that the church, anyone who's truly believed in him, is going to be spared that 7 years of tribulation, is going to be raptured. Hallelujah. And then the people who have not embraced him are going to go through this difficult time, and they're yet going to have, in this difficult time, yet another opportunity to embrace him, but it's not going to be as good as embracing him now. So their slain will be cast out, and their corpses will give off their stench, and the mountains will be drenched with their blood. And, you know, you can read about the challenging time of the tribulation from Revelation 6 through 18 of the book of Revelation, the last book of the Bible. And all the hosts of heaven will rot away, and the sky will be rolled up like a scroll, and all their hosts will also wither away, as a leaf withers from the vine, as one withers from the fig tree. For my sword is satiated in heaven. Behold, it will descend for judgment upon Edom, and upon the people whom I have devoted to destruction. And again, the part that we think that Isaiah is pointing to here is when the Messiah comes back, and anyone who's not embraced him is going to be judged and devoted to destruction, and the rest are going to enter into God's kingdom for the millennium. And I am going to teach on chapter 35 today, because I think it's important in chapter 34 to also take in 35. So I would encourage you, if you're listening right now, just to go ahead and listen to the next chapter as well, because I think it's important to do so we don't stay here. The sword of Yahweh is filled with blood. It is sated with fat, with blood of lambs and goats, with the fat of the kidneys of rams, for Yahweh has a sacrifice in Bozrah and a great slaughter in the land of Edom. And wild oxen will also fall with them, and young bulls with strong ones. Thus their land will be soaked with blood, and their dust become greasy with fat. For Yahweh has a day of vengeance, a year of recompense for the cause of Zion. So this is a time of judgment, and this is going to be for people who have abandoned and not received Jesus. And its streams will be turned into pitch, and its dust into brimstone, and its land will become burning pitch. It will not be quenched night or day. Smoke will go up forever. From generation to generation, it will be laid waste. None will pass through it forever and ever, but a pelican and a hedgehog will possess it, and an owl and raven will dwell in it. And this is where it sometimes seems to me, talking about the near judgment when Babylon comes in and deports God's people around, 500 BC, then the land's going to be laid waste and it's going to get overgrown, and the Jews won't be living in the land because they're going to be in Babylon, but the animals will be living in a overgrown area. But the pelican and the hedgehog will possess it, and an owl and raven will dwell in it, and he will stretch over it the line of utter formlessness, and the plumb line of the utter void. Its nobles, there is no one there whom they may proclaim king, because at this point they would all be in Babylon when the Babylonians come in, and all its princes will be non-existent, and thorns will come up in its fortified towers, weeds and thistles in its fortified cities. It will also be a haunt of jackals, an abode of ostriches, and the desert creatures will meet with the wolves. Again, this could be both a near and far fulfillment one day. The hairy goat also will cry to its kind. Surely the night creature will obtain relief there and will find itself a resting place. The owl will make its nest and find its escape there, and it will hatch its eggs and gather them in its shade. Surely the falcons will be gathered there, every one with its kind. I'm not as familiar with this being a tribulational thing, what's being said here. It seems to line up better with when Israel gets deported and they're not there to take care of their land because of the fact they've been deported. Then it says this: seek from the book of Yahweh and read. Not one of these will be missing. None will lack its mate. It seems like he's talking about the animals there, actually. None will lack its mate. For his mouth has commanded, and his spirit has gathered them. He has cast the lot for them. His hand has divided it to them by line. They shall possess it forever. From generation to generation, they will dwell in it. So it began with a warning. Here, listen. And ultimately, that's, I think, it's hard sometimes, you know, reading all the judgment of the Old Testament, but I want you to know that if you have believed in Jesus, he has taken your judgment. He has taken your sin. He has taken your curse. And God has not only a good life for you here, but a life forever with him in heaven for those who believe in him. So we got to remember, we're not in this we're not in this era. We're not in the Old Testament era of Isaiah. We still want to understand the whole Bible, but you know, we are the family of God through faith in his son. So have you embraced him? Have you believed in him? Because that's the way you're going to escape all this difficulty that we're reading about now. So listen, I'm going to stop here and then we're going to go to chapter 35. I really hope if you're listening to 34 that you'll just continue with me as I teach the next chapter momentarily. God bless you all.